Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report, a daily editorial that is being released on this Easter Monday. We are getting an update from Thor Explorations, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol THX. And for everyone down in the US, you can find the symbol THXPF. I am chatting again with the president and CEO, Segun Lawson. Now, Segun, the last time I had you on the show was more or less mid-February when we recorded a broad company overview. There's a number of projects that Thor Exploration holds that are all advancing quite nicely. Let's start off by recapping some of the recent news. March 29th, we received an updated resource from the Segilola project in Nigeria. Total probable reserves came in at a little over 517,000 ounces. This is at right around 4 grams per ton, 28% increase over that March 2019 feasibility study. We also saw the processing plant design capacity, that increased 14%. Some of the underlying numbers for this resource show that this project is very profitable, an IRR of 85%, all-in sustaining costs of about $685 an ounce. Segun, take us through this updated resource and what it means for the company as you continue to advance towards production.
Thanks very much. Yes, that's correct. On March 29th, we press released this updated reserve news, which we were very happy with, I must say. We finished drilling in December, and we spent the last 3 months painstakingly fixing, comprehensively going through all the costs with all the various contractors and inking them in. So, you know, we're very confident with these numbers. Firstly, like you mentioned, the increase in the reserve, our DFS reserve was 405,000 ounces, and that's now increased to 517,000 ounces. And then the all-in sustaining costs staying nicely below $700 per ounce at $685 per ounce. It just means, you know, there's a nice buffer at today's gold price. We did the reserve with the assumption of a $1,600 gold price, and the economics were fantastic. You know, the project NPV is just over $300 million with an IRR of 85%, like you said. And this is all versus our market cap of $100 million US roundabout. So we think, you know, there's a huge discount to the company valuation. And if we continue to deliver successfully into production, then, you know, we see this re-rating coming. So when I speak about that, it's important to say that, you know, we're still very much on track to pour our first gold bar in June this year, which is less than 3 months away, and then ramp up nicely through to commercial production in September. So, you know, we're aiming to produce at least 40,000 ounces before December 31st this year. So, look, and it's all happening within our budget. So we're very happy with that news, correct? The other big change, like you mentioned, is our throughput rate. So at the DFS, we were processing 625,000 tons per annum, and that's also improved 14% to 715,000 tons per annum. So that gives us the ability to pass more material through and produce more ounces at this higher gold price than when we did the original DFS, which was in February 2019 and had a $1,300 gold price assumption. So overall, we're very, very happy with it. And we keep moving towards that first gold bar in June.
Yeah, and that's near-term production, too. I think the market is very much waiting to see just how smoothly that all runs, but seems like your guys, I think it's an 18-month construction period. You began last year in March, and everything sounds like it's running on time. Give us a yearly outlook, then. You already said about 40,000 ounces by the end of this year. What's your outlook for 2022 in terms of total production, please?
I'll put it in terms of the average all-in sustaining or the average production for the life of mine, which is around about 90,000 ounces. So this 6 months is just over 40,000 ounces. Next year is around about 80,000 ounces, just under, and then we ramp up to well above 100,000 ounces per year for the 2 years after that. The resource obviously isn't closed out to depth, The plan is that, you know, early next year we start doing that exploration of the depth to extend the mine life. And at the moment, what's ongoing is the exploration for satellite targets as well. We believe, you know, there's a very strong possibility to find additional deposits within trucking distance, and that's always ongoing. And that's all aimed at increasing the 6-year mine life we currently have.
Now, I will post a link to this news release. Again, came out March 29th because it does show a lot of these production metrics as well as the current resource and the ability to grow that resource. That then all comes down to the drilling. But the company also has a couple other projects that I don't think are really getting much value when you consider what the economics are here at Segilola. Let's talk about this Douta project in Senegal. Company has a 10,000 meter drill program ongoing right now. Can you give us an update, please, on how that drill program is progressing and when potentially we will see a resource out of that Douta property?
We had a couple of press releases in February on the last 10,000 meter drill program, which we did in Q4 last year. And the plan was originally to do the maiden resource after that. But, you know, these results were extremely encouraging, and they left us wanting more, basically. You know, it was open-ended to the north, Makosa North. We found a high-grade zone, the highest grade zone we've ever drilled here. And then there's an infill area of 1.6 kilometers, which after doing more map around and getting the last set of results, we're now inclined to drill that. So that's drilling is progressing. We'll be aiming to get first set of drill results out in about 4 weeks' time. And then the plan is after we finish the 10,000 meters and we have all these results back, we will go into a maiden resource statement. I mean, this is a much more known jurisdiction in terms of gold production, Senegal, and gold exploration. We're actually just 5 kilometers away from the largest undeveloped deposit in Senegal, which is Massawa, which is now owned by Endeavour, formerly Teranga, which is, you know, 4 million ounce deposit just sitting 5 kilometers away. Our drilling so far has delineated around about 6 kilometer strike length of mineralization in, you know, a number of parallel lodes. And we've only drilled to between 60 and 80 meters, so which is a lot of the oxide and transition. So we're hugely excited by this. And like I mentioned earlier, it's still open in several areas. So we have something that complements what we have in Senegal, in Nigeria, which is Nigeria gives us very strong cash flow from this year. In Senegal, we have a blue sky growth opportunity, which just kept growing, and it continues to grow. It's something we want to keep exploring, and getting that into a maiden resource this quarter, and then building on that maiden resource after this year. An ideal world scenario would be to successfully build Nigeria, go into a steady production for 18 months or so, and then, you know, try and replicate what we've done in Nigeria here in Senegal and build our second mine. So we do have long-term objectives with our projects in Senegal as well.
Now, when it comes to the project in Senegal, this Douta project, it sounds much longer in terms of that 6 kilometer strike length. It is, from some of the past drilling, lower grade than what we're seeing at Segilola in Nigeria. But just how big could Douta be? Or I guess another way to put it is, if you do want to move into this multi-asset producer, what sort of resource would you look for to then make that transition into a production or construction scenario?
Yeah, look, like you say, it's completely different to Segilola. Segilola it's constrained within 2 kilometers, but it's a high grade deposit, grading at 4 grams per ton. Here, we're looking at something much lower grade, between 1 and 2 grams at the moment. But, you know, it's in terms of ounces for ounces, we believe it's going to be a lot bigger than what we have in Segilola. So that's I don't want to throw any numbers out there before we have our resource statement, but we do believe we have something bigger than we have in Nigeria. And that resource statement is a major milestone internally, because it provides that yardstick where we can start valuing this project. You rightly say there's no value for this project currently in our share price, we don't believe. And I think once people pick up that, you know, we've got something quite significant here, just 5 kilometers away from Massawa, then it would start unlocking the value that's currently not being recognized.
Okay, so it sounds like near-term news coming out of Gilola in Nigeria is that consistent move towards production, but that's coming in possibly just a couple months here. And then drill results coming out of Douta project in Senegal. Let's also talk about the news that came out just today for the Central Hundi project in Burkina Faso. Barrick was a partner with you guys. They've given back their option, taking a 1% NSR, net smelter royalty. What happened here? Why did Barrick back away? And what option does this leave you with the project now?
Yeah, so to go back on this, our original joint venture partners were Acacia, who got taken out by Barrick. So we were almost joint venture partners with Barrick by accident. And we know since that acquisition, it's been no secret that Barrick have been looking to divest their non-core early exploration projects in West Africa, including this central Hyundai project. For us, it's just fantastic optionality. We've now regained 100% of this project, which is in one of the more prolific belts in West Africa. It hosts Rock Skulls Yaramoko, it hosts the Mana Mine, and a number of others with explorers there. But what is very significant is, even though it's too small for Barrick, there has been a significant amount of drilling that's gone on these licenses, over 12,000 meters. And they have identified mineralization and a number of targets. So we have also, at the same time, reset the clock on these licenses, you know, back to the new licenses again for 8 years, with targets, with drilling targets and historic drilling on them. And it's something we don't have to rush into. Obviously, our focus is Segilola. After that, we have Senegal, but it's something that gives us huge optionality, owning 100% of this project, you know, with a clean slate and a lot of historic data, which we can take our time to review and then get back on the ground there. So we're very happy with that. We exchanged the Barrick 51% for an NSR, a 1% NSR. And we think, we've done well to be in this position on this.
Yeah, this is a very interesting company, Segun. I really appreciate you joining me again for this update. I will also post a link below this interview to that initial interview so everyone can get up to speed again on these projects, but some pretty key developments here over the last really couple weeks. So we will follow up as more news hits the market. Please keep us up to date. And if anybody has any follow-up questions for Segun regarding Thor Explorations, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Segun, thank you for taking time on this Monday. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you very much. And really happy to be here doing an update.